This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning to you. It's a Thursday. In case you need reminding, I've honestly needed some reminding. There are times when I open my mouth to say one particular day and then I realize it's not that day. And if not for the date that's on my laptop, so in the corner of my laptop screen, I wouldn't know what date it is either. I've got friends that, I mean, they've had birthdays and I've missed them. Thank heavens I haven't missed any family birthdays because that's worse. But I'm not a huge fan of the social media birthday trend where everyone who barely knows you sends you a message. So I keep my birthday off social media most of the time anyway. But honestly, if not for Facebook, I would have missed a bunch of friends' birthdays too this spring.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of friends. Hello, friends. And so, yeah, I feel like I heard that from people in my own circle too, though. I'm losing track of the days. I'm losing track of the date. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I count the number of shows. That's how I get through it. And we're on our fourth show of the work week. So wrapping up, coming up on Thursday night into Friday morning, and then I've got a week of vacation. It's more like a staycation, and it's not the kind of staycation where you go play golf or you take lots of naps. No, my staycation will feature a bunch of family, although I am thankful they're showing up to my rescue. Goodness. My mom even said to me on the phone on Wednesday, "I hate to fly, but I hate to not see you more." Oh, isn't that sweet? Everyone should have someone in their life that loves them like that. She conquers her fear of flying just to come see me. And no, she's not afraid of flying because of the virus. She's been afraid of flying for 20 years. She hates it. It's terrifying to her. And she does it when she has to for family, but that's pretty much it. And so mom is arriving on the scene. She's got all kinds of plans. She's already telling me how we should be setting up the kitchen and the house. And she's got a list. She's got not only a shopping list, but a to-do list. Although in fairness, I helped her make that, but she was adding her own things to the list. And she keeps telling me where I should put furniture. Mom, you haven't even seen the house yet. How about you show up here and then you can start ordering me around? Yeah, that's mama. But I cannot bite the hand that helps me clean. So she's also, I don't want her to, but she does anyway. And then my brother, who's actually coming and staying for the whole week and will be working from my house. Let's hope the Verizon transfer of the internet service goes well on Saturday. There's no issues because he's coming up for the whole week. He works from home all the time, not just during this pandemic, and doesn't really care where he does his work. The funny part is, though, he does a lot of conference calls and he paces around the house when he does. Well, he's got his home office in the basement, so I see him sometimes when I'm visiting and he paces around the basement while he's on a conference call. And I could just imagine in my house where there's boxes everywhere. There's barely a path to get through the kitchen from one door to the other. And I just don't know. My brother with his 6'5 frame and his big feet might end up kicking a bunch of my stuff as he's pacing around the house. But whatever, I'll accommodate. And because he's going to help me with a bunch of the yard work and stuff. And then various other family members showing up on Friday, leaving Monday. So it's going to be a free-for-all. Here's the only thing I know for sure. we will be trying peanut butter on our burgers. Courtesy of you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. It's kind of weird to be thinking about taking a vacation now. I know our bosses are encouraging us to use a bunch of our vacation time before the NBA and the NHL return, not to mention by the time they do return, football training camps will be underway, at least some of them, and they'll all follow in rapid succession. We've got the MLS-style tournament. I mean, basically, once we get to the end of July, if baseball is participating, every sport that man and woman have ever played will be taking place all at the same time. So our bosses are encouraging us to take more of our vacation now as opposed to doing it when sports comes back or more of sports come back. And then also they don't want us all taking off at Christmas and New Year's all at the same time because we're left with all this vacation time. But here's the deal. I mean, I don't mind taking a vacation, but I'm not going to turn around and take another vacation in 3 weeks. So let's see what you got, baseball, because baseball could be my excuse. Oh, sorry, boss. Baseball's back. Baseball, crickets, are you back? Let's see. What is the latest with Major League Baseball? Raise your hand if you want to know. Too bad. You're going to know anyway. There is another proposal. If you're keeping track at home, this is six different proposals in this last month of pseudo-negotiating. This is the fourth from the owners alone, but there is a reason for hope here. Number one, the union had written off the owners. Going back to Saturday night, the union, Tony Clark, the players, unanimous in their stance that they were not going to budge. So a united front, and they said, we're done. Any more negotiating is futile. Just tell us when and where, and we'll show up. We're ready. We've been ready. Just tell us when and where. And that was almost universal on social media from the players, along with a bunch of other criticisms of the owners. So here we are with another proposal. And interestingly enough, this one, at least the framework of this one, was actually hammered out in person. Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, commissioner and union chief, got together face-to-face for the first time in a long time. And Bob Nightingale, the great USA Today baseball insider who's on our show a bunch, he was with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio, and he had the details.
It helped big time with, you know, finally a first face-to-face meeting between Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. And they shook hands last night and said, let's bring the framework of a deal to our constituents. MLB owners are all for it. The union, well, they're still a problem. They want more than 60 games. They probably want closer to 70.
60 games is what the owners have come back with. It's another baby step. My goodness. The tortoise and the hare moves faster than this. But the proposal would start the season July 19th. Interestingly enough, that is a month from Friday. So baseball owners believe that a month is long enough to get these players back to their home markets, if that's where they go, and to have them ready to play with a bit of a renewal of spring training, chance to get a couple of games in, pitchers to stretch out their arms again. Season would begin on July 19th with 60 games over 70 days. Okay, so 10 off days, 60 games over 70 days. The owners believe that's a major concession for them because they'd also be paying the players for all 60 games. No more pay cuts, only the prorated salaries that the players agreed to back in March. But it looks like there's still some wiggle room and they could end up with, say, 65 games as opposed to the 72, which was the most recent proposed from the players. So I wish we could just skip all of this posturing and cut right to the chase, but no, we got to do this song and dance. And as I said in my CBS Sports Minute, now I didn't make the Star Wars reference, but I did this earlier on the show, and it seems really appropriate to me. For anyone who's seen Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back, which I know many of you have, so this is a bit of a throwback analogy. But if you remember the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, they were on the planet Hoth, so the ice planet, and Luke gets stuck out in a, you know, stuck out somewhere in an ice and snowstorm, and it's getting dark, and they have to close down their base, and Han Solo says, no way, I'm going out to look for him. And so he goes out to look for him, and he finds him half dead in the snow, and he's riding this native animal called a tauntaun, all right? It's kind of a combination between a llama and a horse. I don't know. It was an ugly animal, but it worked fine. It was native. Anyway, so in order to keep Luke alive, the tauntaun dies because it's too cold for him to be out there for too long too. So Han Solo takes a knife and just guts him. And as he cuts him down the middle after he's dead, all the guts and the gore just come catapulting out of this tauntaun. Like they were on a spring. And I feel like that is so appropriate for what has happened with baseball. We have seen the tauntaun's guts. We have seen baseball exposed, all the gory details. There is no way we can unsee what we have seen. And as I asked in the CBS Sports Minute, will we ever forget? We can forgive, and we can go back to baseball, and we can enjoy it even because we love the game, but will we ever forget how nasty this got? Will we forever forget the greed and the selfishness and the clear priority, money? I don't know if we will. The blood, the guts, they've all come pouring out. So baseball's done some damage. If they get back on the field, some of that damage will be repaired. But I don't know, and I'm speaking for myself as a fan of the game, how much repairing can be done of this relationship in a 60-game season. It's going to take some time. It's probably...
The owners and the club.
It's probably not personal. So it's business, I get it. At least that's what the owners and the players would have you believe. But it feels personal, right? Because we're all going through very similar situations. Companies that are laying people off, that are assigning furloughs, companies that are making employees take unpaid vacation, companies that are asking employees to take pay cuts or strongly suggesting. You know, maybe you've just completely lost your job and don't have a company and now you're on unemployment. Those situations, those five examples that I gave, they apply to pretty much every American out there. Not all, but the majority. And it's just been so frustrating to watch these guys argue when we don't have a choice over the pay cuts, over the furloughs, over, in some cases, losing our jobs. They have a choice. And they've still chosen to make this as difficult and as painful as possible. So, yes, we may forgive, but will we ever forget? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Jim Bowden, always on CBS Sports HQ, able to cut right to the chase with these latest negotiations.
The owners and the clubs were ready to make a deal. And certainly over the weekend when Tony Clark called the bluff on the clubs understood they couldn't implement a season of just 48 to 50 games at the prorated amount because the union would file a grievance. And the clubs understood they would have a difficult time winning that grievance. And so they came to the conclusion of the best place to do this deal is, number one, to give in on, first of all, the full prorated salaries. And so they've done that. The next thing they had to recognize is instead of offering 48 to 50 games, you want to make a deal, it better start with a 6. So they came to the table with 60. On the other side, they asked the union to please give on the dates because they really want the regular season to end on September 27th and the World Series and playoffs to end at the end of October. One, to satisfy the broadcast partners. Number two, because of health reasons.
Jim Bowden, longtime baseball executive on CBS Sports HQ. I mean, let's be honest. Getting the players to drop the grievance or to drop the threat of a grievance is probably the number one reason why the owners went back to the negotiating table. Remember, they didn't have to. Rob Manfred didn't have to reach out to Tony Clark and ask for an in-person meeting in Phoenix. No, Rob Manfred has the ability to tell the players how many games and when the season will start. He was handed that power in March. He's got that autonomy. And so he doesn't actually need to negotiate anything else. Neither do the owners. They've got the upper hand, but they don't want to deal with a grievance. So these concessions, giving full prorated salaries and adding a few more games, it's their way of avoiding a grievance and getting baseball players to agree, getting the union to agree that they will not file a grievance.
Which unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen.
It's quickly becoming one of our favorite audio drops over the course of this last week or so. We've got a fantastic question that we posed for you on the show tonight, and we have really enjoyed your answers. Some of you, extremely unique answers. Some of you don't understand really the concept, but it's okay. It takes all kinds. So if you were allowed to go to one venue or one particular sporting event, and by that I mean a rivalry, maybe a game seven, you have one in mind that you really like to attend. You don't necessarily get to pick your Super Bowl matchup. But if you could pick any upcoming event or any venue right now and be the only fan in the stands, where would you go? What would you see? You hit the lottery. You hit the jackpot, peeps. And your answers are awesome. I love them. Those of you who actually understand what we're talking about. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. We are inching our way toward the weekend. At least that's what it feels like to me. Always when you're counting down the hours to vacation.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 1-0 delivery by the Nationals right-hander is whacked in the air into right center deep. Get up! Get out of here and gone for Christian Yelich. He strikes again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is a possibility, though not a 100% possibility, that we will see baseball and a Christian Yelich home run in 2020. Once they decide on the number of games, then maybe I'll start contemplating how odd it's going to be if there are only, let's say, 50 to 65 games. And what does that mean? And for those of you who heard my conversation with Pete Abraham on our last show, I mean, he kind of joked about it. Was the parade going to be a block and a half? I mean, how do you take yourself seriously when you have won a championship after, say, 60 games, which is, I mean, we're talking about just over a third of what a regular season would be if that's what it ends up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What vent? That was supposed to be venue, and then it was supposed to be event, and it, you know, it came out like air vent. What event, what venue, she said, would you choose if you could be the only one in the stands? Take your choice. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. That's 855-212-4CBS. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Many of you are saying the Masters. It's a quick golf note. I think it's awesome. In fact, a friend of mine who came over with his wife to see my house on Wednesday evening actually brought this to my attention. I hadn't realized it yet. Add in another, let's see, there were 487 last week. So we're talking about nearly another 500 COVID-19 tests for the PGA Tour. And they're now at nearly 1,000, all of them negative. all of them. And so this represents the first week and now the second week at Hilton Head. They'll be teeing off in mere hours in South Carolina. Not one positive test with nearly 1,000 of them conducted. That is commitment, and that is golfers as well as caddies and tour personnel who are committed to keeping their business operational. I just saw this post on our Facebook page. Cancel all sports until 2021. A deadly virus is going around. Well, okay, so if that's what you really believe, what happens when the virus is still around in 2021? Do you just continue to cancel all sports? And it's not just entertainment. That I know as fans, we look at sports as entertainment. But do you know about the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of jobs that revolve around the sports industry? It's a $25 billion industry nearly in the NFL alone. That's the extreme. But Major League Baseball is over $10 billion. We're not just talking about player salaries. We're not just talking about owners. There are thousands of employees that work game days and work for teams and work for the league. I mean, you can't just shut down the industry and pretend like it's all for fun and games, because it's not. How many more people would lose their jobs? Many of them already furloughed, not getting paid. It's not just about the games. It is for many of you as fans. But try to see it as a business. Try to see it as an incredibly important sector of our economy. Why do you think the governors are so anxious to have sports back in their cities and in their states, even when the rest of, you know, the population in their cities and states are not completely back to their standard routines? Because sports generate money and they stimulate the economy. So it's not just about the athletes and the owners. It's about, forget about them if you want to. It's about the thousands and thousands of people who rely upon these industries for their jobs. You don't want to see all of them lose their jobs, right? So that's why it's important to me to see sports restart. I still have a job. I can talk about ice cream, but a lot of these people do not. They need to get back to work because they've got families to feed and bills to pay.
If I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona,
deal with it. Eric is listening in Boston. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. Long time listener, first time caller.
Sweet.
The best sport in my mind to see in person is hockey. So I'd like to be at any Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final watching that.
It wouldn't have to be in Boston, would it? What if it was somewhere else?
I don't care where it is.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Saskatchewan, Canada. I don't care if it's in an igloo or we're watching Mystery Alaska. A Game 7 Final. There's nothing better than hockey or baseball in person. Football's hard to watch. I just love hockey in person. There's nothing better.
Well, I would agree with you. In fact, I say this sometimes and people get mad at me, but I don't think hockey translates as well on TV. I think if you're in person, especially if you're up high, you can see the speed and the power of the game, not to mention the whole rink, and it's hard to capture all of that because of the boards and where the cameras are. But I agree with you. Seeing hockey in person is one of my favorite live sporting experiences. And while I've never been to a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final, I've been to a Game 5. I've been to to Games 3 and 4. I've seen one go into overtime. I mean, it's an awesome experience. So that's a great answer.
I've been to a Game 5 myself, not a Game 7, but it's just an awesome experience. It's something you'll never ever forget. I promise you that.
Even in Mystery Alaska.
Thank you, Amy.
All right. Thank you. Have a great Thursday. Good to talk to you in Boston. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. They would have to get busy and create their own hockey arenas. Maybe they've got some. I'm sure they've got some, but NHL arenas, and then get an expansion team or get a team to move if that were going to be the case. Lewis on Facebook says the roller derby. He doesn't specify a venue, but that's the event. He wants to be the only one in town at the roller derby. Let's see. Gosh, I really do love the fact that the Masters, not one of the team sports, so the Masters is the most popular answer. Michael on Facebook, without a doubt, Yankees-Cubs game on a hot Friday afternoon at Wrigley Field. I'd carry with me a huge tote bag to collect the foul balls. And then I've seen a few of you actually post about being at a home run derby. Dutch on Twitter says, a home run derby being the only one retrieving those loose home run balls, it would be quite a workout. Yeah, yeah, you think? It definitely would be. Daniel on Twitter, for me, it would be the Texas Motorplex and NHRA Fall Nationals. All right, whatever it is that you love. Different Daniel on Twitter, World Cup. Steven says Michigan at Ohio State or being at the Horseshoe. Could you imagine being the only one there? Joseph, St. Andrews for the Open Championship. Yeah, awesome answers, and they've really made me think. So I'm glad you like this question as much as we do. Let's see. Phone number 855-212-4227. Twitter, Facebook, some comments from Serena Williams about participating in the U.S. Open, and one NFL coach is wading into the fray and actually putting Colin Kaepernick's name out there. So a couple of things we'll get to between now and the top of the hour. Andrew Bogish joining us from his super secret home base. Andrew!
Good morning from my super secret home base.
Yes, I don't want to give away your top secret location. Because then you might be bombarded
by fans.
Yeah, stalkers.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
Thank you for keeping me and my family and my neighborhood safe.
Yes. I don't know if you've had a chance to even hear the question or contemplate, but I'll set it up for you. Any venue or sporting event where you could be the only fan in the entire building or park or venue, what would you choose?
That's a good one.
I know. It's a listener submitted it yesterday as part of Ask Amy Anything, and we stole it and have turned it around to our show question.
Do I get a guest at least, or is it really just me in a seat?
Oh, come on. You can't do anything alone?
No, I definitely can. I guess baseball. For some reason, being indoors, like my sarcastic yelling and heckling in echoing inside Madison Square Garden or something at a Rangers game seems odd. So I guess, you know, put me behind home plate out in the sun, afternoon baseball, a beer and a pretzel and a hot dog, and I'll be good to go.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? It would be so much fun. We had some cool answers. Like one guy, Josh, said a World Cup game in Brazil where I'm the only one yelling, ole, 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 ole. A lot of people have said the Masters. That's probably our most popular answer. But also Army-Navy game. I don't know how it would be without the students at West Point.
Yeah,
but still,
you need the cadets there. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Still a pretty incredible venue. I mean, we had some great answers. The Kentucky Derby, you're the only one there, and you can hear the horses, obviously, the pounding of the hooves. And yeah, so it's kind of a fun question, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I don't really ever want to be alone at any of them. Now, I would want to be alone, like, at a stadium. Like, if you could just let me in a Citi Field to, like, goof around by myself. Like,
but
you
think
know,
of the story you
run.
Would tell.
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like, you know, I'm going to say something stupid, and then a big, burly baseball person will look back at me and give me a dirty look, and it's going to be awkward.
No,
I'd rather
who
be
cares?
In there by myself to goof around, you know, sit in the dugout, put a uniform on, pretend I'm hitting a dramatic home run.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But still, I think baseball is the answer no matter what.
For me, it would be one of the – so I originally thought NBA, and then I was like, no way, not a big enough venue. So then I went big house, horseshoe, college football national championship, because what a story you could tell. I mean, you would be an instant sensation on social media, Andrew.
That's true. I'd have to have a lot of followers. If I was the only person bringing this game to the world.
You would get a lot of followers.
That's a heavy responsibility now. That's a whole other argument now, is that I'm there as the eyes and the voice of everybody. Mm. Now I got to be really on my game, tweeting and taking pictures.
Heavens, isn't this what you do for a living?
Not that many people rely on me for information.
I do. I rely on you for information.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now Rivers going to change the play, 12 on the play clock. He brings Eckler to his left. Gordon to his right. Rivers, Takes the snap, looking for Eckler, setting it up, and throws it to Eckler. He's got it outside the numbers. 10, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Matt Smith on the Chargers radio network. Of course, Chargers and Rams are expected to open up SoFi Stadium in Englewood, California, coming up in a couple of months. I normally miss football this time of the year. I can't even allow my mind to go to that place where there might not be football. To me, that's unfathomable. But you know what? The same thing I would have said about the NBA and the NHL playoffs being postponed, and the fact that this hiatus, this sports hibernation for the major team sports in the United States has continued now into month number 4. I mean, it's something that if you told me about it ahead of time, I would have thought, no way, that's impossible. And yet 2020 is filled with all types of things that I would have said never could or would happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we're thinking both NFL and college football, and they're working on their plans to get to the point where they can operate safely. And yes, it's about the fun and the pomp and the circumstance, but it's also about the money that's riding on these sports. And in college football, it's about the money and the revenue that the schools bring in that fund the rest of their athletic department budgets and then some. I mean, I'd said this to our guest, Randy Cross, earlier in the week, College Football Hall of Famer. Maybe I've mentioned it on the show, but in hearing my niece tell me about Virginia Tech's plan for, you know, for bringing students back to campus and how they've already indicated that the students should prepare not to come back to campus after Thanksgiving. So they're going to do their fall semester from middle of August until Thanksgiving break, which is later this year. But they're more than likely not going to return to campus after Thanksgiving. And then they'll be gone for the, you know, the 2 or 3 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas when the semester is over, all the way into late January before they would return to campus to start the spring semester. And the cynical part of me, or maybe the sports brain part of me, thought, oh yeah, that's because they can't have football season without students on campus. So sure, they'll make the contingency plan for after football is over, because many of these schools, their entire athletic department budgets would collapse without football. The major schools, the money they bring in with football and in some cases men's basketball, funds the rest of their sports, all of the non-revenue sports. And so the NCAA, as well as these conferences and the schools individually, are working on plans to do whatever they can to make sure that football moves forward, even with a couple of hitches here and there, maybe some games that have to be canceled. But for the majority of these schools, they're working desperately to get football back on the field. The Division I Council actually has approved a 6-week practice plan for football. It starts in July, and it takes these teams from where they are now, which is voluntary workouts, through the mandatory meetings and then their preseason camps. And they put together, you know, the steps to get through the 6-week plan. They've got protocols for the number of athletes that are allowed to be on a roster, but they've also left it up to the schools to figure out how many kids they bring into camp specifically. I mean, there's all kinds of protocols that they're working on as well. Remember, we talked to Randy, not just a College Football Hall of Famer, but man who now is, you know, in the business and the media side. And he said he believes it should be up to the conferences, because not every plan is going to fit every conference, right? So you can't have a one size fits all type of a plan. And so it's up to each individual conference to figure out what is the best for its member schools. Now in the NFL, we've heard there are multiple coaches freaked out by, you know, a number of Dallas Cowboys getting the coronavirus. Except there's been no indication that Ezekiel Elliott or these other members of the Cowboys got it in workouts. We know they're not supposed to be working out together, though many quarterbacks are working out with their receivers and they are organizing throwing sessions. And I can imagine they're not always socially distant with masks. So maybe there is some of that. But there's also the chance that Ezekiel Elliott and these others got the virus by going to the beach or going out to a party or going to someplace where they were more exposed. So while I understand the concerns of the coaches, I still say this is not a controlled environment right now. I mean, none of these guys are at the facilities. They're not going through daily testing. They're not going through health and safety checks on a regular basis. So I wouldn't be as worried, if it were me, until these guys are into this, again, this training camp mode where they're together all the time and they're supposed to be following the various health and safety checks. Then I would be worried if you had an outbreak. But right now, no. I mean, who knows what these athletes are doing on their personal time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're not to that point yet. We're still about 5 weeks away from teams getting together for training camps, if that's what happens. Maybe they are shortened, but at this point, we're looking at these 5 weeks, late July, third week in July. And teams will bring in other athletes for workouts then, too. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn, he was willing to throw the name Colin Kaepernick out there.
That's something that's probably on the workout list. You know, I haven't spoken with Colin. Not sure if where he's at as far as in his career, what he want to do. But Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running, and I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have. But you can never have too many people waiting on the runway.
I like that analogy. I'm assuming he means airplane runway, not fashion model runway. Coach Anthony Lynn of the, I almost said San Diego, of the Los Angeles Chargers. And I also like his perspective about how his team has changed and over the course of this pandemic, where you kind of think of everyone as separate, it's actually had the opposite effect with his locker room.
I would be lying if I said last couple of weeks our priorities hadn't shifted a little bit because of what's going on around the country. And we've spent a lot of time together as a team talking about it. And it's been some really cool meetings that we've had amongst one another. So I believe our team is closer now. And we just took a negative and turned it into a little bit of a positive for us, because I believe it's brought us close together. We have a better understanding of one another. But and when they do get back together, then I think that's when you're going to see the chemistry with that team. And I think a lot of teams operate this way around the league for the last couple of weeks, and the head coaches I've talked to. So I believe it can only make us stronger and bring us closer together. And when we see each other, I think it'll show.
I love that perspective, and I'm so glad that Coach Lynn shared it, because isn't that the point? Yes, there can be loud, large, powerful protests that attract a lot of attention. But ultimately, at least in my opinion, change happens at the personal level. And minds are changed, hearts are changed at the personal level, which means people in your sphere of influence, people in your circle. This team spending time together, talking about what's happening and ways that they can be different moving forward, ways that they feel like they can change even within their own locker room. My own family and friends having conversations. You know, maybe it's about asking someone whose perspective is different than you how they feel about what's happening. And that's where change really takes place. I mean, we can read on social media and we can take part in a protest with thousands of people that we don't know. But generally, change takes place when it comes from within our own personal circle, at least more personal changes, because it's someone who's close to us, who knows us, that is around us all the time, that impacts us on a personal level. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Serena Williams committed to the U.S. Open, and I love how she talks about she's so excited, and then she's so soft-spoken, but that's Serena.
I really cannot wait to return to New York and play the U.S. Open 2020. I feel like the USTA is going to do a really good job of ensuring like everything is amazing and everything is perfect and everyone is safe, and it's going to be exciting. It's been over 6 months since a lot of us have played professional tennis, so it is, I'll certainly miss the fans, don't get me wrong, just being out there in that New York crowd and hear everyone cheer, like, I'll really miss that and getting me through some of those tough matches, but this is crazy. I'm excited.
than Serena Williams on her own Instagram. She cracks me up because she's so demonstrative on the court. And yet generally when you get her in a press conference or, you know, the microphone, a phone in front of her face, she's much more soft-spoken. Anyway, I'm excited to see these athletes get back. And I remember we talked to Sam Querrey, another American tennis pro. Oh gosh. What do you think, Chris? It was like maybe 4 weeks in to the pandemic.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So maybe a month in. And he said, listen, I will pick up a racket tomorrow. He said it won't be pretty. I might not play a great match, but I don't need any time. Just let me go back out there and play. He was ready to go even then. He said, this is what we do for a living. We play tennis. Eventually the muscle memory returns and you shake off the rust. Now you might be out of shape, but come on. I don't need any time. Just let's go. And so it'll be interesting to see how much rust there is. Now, these guys can obviously, guys and gals, can obviously practice. Doesn't take a whole lot, just a hitting partner, in some cases a wall or a machine. And they can quickly, or they can be practicing, but quickly get back into shape too. And so it's going to be interesting, but I'm excited that the U.S. Open also has plans to move forward. What is the event or sporting venue that you would most like to attend in person if you were the only fan allowed at the ballpark, at the field, on the court, or maybe at the course? Many of you are saying the Masters. That seems to be the most popular answer. But Jay, on our Facebook page, Wimbledon Men's Championship in the Royal Family Box. If you were the only one there, you would certainly be royalty. John on Facebook, Manchester United versus Man City. So Man U, Man City at Old Trafford. That sounds cool. Let's see. Joey, Oriole Park at Camden Yards on the first night Trey Mancini comes back and starts after his treatments for cancer. And that's an awesome answer too. I love it. Joseph on Facebook, Ravens versus Steelers. Jimmy, the Monaco Grand Prix. History and venue are amazing and breathtaking. Rick's ambitious. The Browns beating the Steelers in Cleveland. And then Jason says the Summer Olympics. But I also like this one on Twitter. Thank you so much for sharing this. Shane says he kind of feels like he'll be in this experience this weekend at Talladega, one of the 5,000 allowed into that massive venue on Sunday. Shane, make sure you call and let us know what that was like. We'll talk to you tonight to wrap the work week after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.